Drug subcultures have private languages. Our language commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has these thoughts on how outsiders use that language.
It's always a little disconcerting to see the New York Times trying to set aside its lofty manner to go for something more hip, or hep, as the Times people probably say. They invariably wind up sounding like a foreigner who hasn't got the idiom quite right, as in, "Hey man, I'm Dig." There was a particularly poignant example a couple of weeks ago in the paper's Living section, in a story about the decline of drug use in New York's fashion industry. The article itself wouldn't have been out of place in a trendier publication like Women's Wear Daily or Vanity Fair, but the headline writer gave the show away when he titled it quaintly, "In the World of High Fashion, Narcotics Are Now Out of Style." Now, of course, narcotics was never an accurate term to describe drugs like cocaine, marijuana, and PCP. Strictly speaking, narcotics are only drugs that induce a stupor, like morphine and heroin. But nobody was about to split hairs when the word came into general use a couple of generations ago. That was an age when most middle-class Americans got their information about drugs from J. Edgar Hoover and Dragnet, and when no one would have seen anything disproportionate about confiscating a yacht that had a couple of marijuana cigarettes aboard. But we've lost our collective innocence since then, and now we talk about drugs in the drug world's own lingo. 20 years ago, it would have been bizarre to hear congressmen using the word joints to describe the contraband aboard those yachts that were seized. Now it doesn't even raise an eyebrow. Drug arrests are routinely called busts in the press nowadays, though not in the Times, of course, and the people who are arrested are referred to as dealers, not pushers. Even the pronunciation of the word cocaine has changed. Up to a generation ago, the only standard pronunciation was cocaine, with the stress on the second syllable, as in Cole Porter's line, "I get no kick from cocaine." Now it's common to hear newscasters talking about cocaine, with the stress on the first syllable, a street pronunciation that comes from the speech of inner-city blacks. All this sophistication creates a dilemma in our current efforts to deal with the drug problem. What we would like to say is that it's hip to be square, as the singer Huey Lewis put it. But if we were serious about that, we wouldn't be running ads that say, "Don't do drugs." We'd be saying, "Don't take narcotics," the way Sergeant Friday would have. After all, the anti-shoplifting campaigns simply say, "Don't shoplift." Nobody feels it's necessary to say, "Don't go around boosting stuff from stores." The problem is that it's hard to have any credibility on drug matters if you can't talk like you've been there. If you use phrases like narcotics pusher or marijuana cigarette, people are liable to jump to the conclusion that you may have been square all along, even back in the 60s when it was hip to be hip. True squareness is closed to us now. It's a state of grace that only the New York Times can still pretend to. In the end, you have to admire their indomitable stodginess. The Times has managed to keep their headlines while others all about them were losing theirs.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.